In the same week, I heard both sermons. In a physician's lounge, a colleague told me artificial intelligence is dumb, that it just makes things up, and that he does not trust any of it. That same week, a researcher who spent 3 years doing pre-training work inside OpenAI and Anthropic resigned in protest, accusing both labs of racing towards self-improving superintelligence and gambling with our lives. His warning was viewed more than 100 million times.
And I'm guessing the lounge and the timeline agree on nothing, except that the other side is completely delusional.
Exactly. And that is the starting point of a new post from Chukwuma Onyeye on Doctors Who Code. He deals with physicians all the time who are worried about AI, and he says most of them live in the first camp. They watched a model hallucinate once, and they concluded the whole technology is a parlor trick. Meanwhile, a growing chorus insists it is a life-or-death matter for civilization itself. His post is the first part of a series called The Middle Path, and it tries to thread between those two extremes.
All right, let us steelman the lounge first, because I want to know if the dismissers have a point.
They do. Chukwuma wrote an entire earlier piece on the anatomy of a medical AI hallucination, and the evidence is real. A model once silently dropped the word no from a clinical plan, turning a completed course of antibiotics into a new prescription nobody ordered. In a large evaluation of nearly 13,000 clinician-annotated summary sentences, about 1.5% contained hallucinations, and 44% of those were classified as major errors that could have affected diagnosis or management. Omissions ran at about 3.5%.
So the dismissers are holding genuine data. Where do they go wrong?
They go from fallible to useless in one jump. His counter is that every consequential tool in medicine is fallible. Laboratories err, imaging misses things, residents anchor on the wrong diagnosis, and physicians themselves have been wrong in ways that required a colleague or a protocol to catch. We do not discard fallible components. We govern them. We build checks, redundancy, escalation, and accountability around them. And he adds a sharper point, that dismissal is a form of abdication. If physicians refuse to engage with these systems, the systems get built without them, by people who have never had to tell a patient that something went wrong.
Okay, that lands. Now give the doomers the same fair hearing, because their week was apparently a strong one.
It was. The resigning researcher is Jacob Coxon, and the key detail is that he is not a pundit. He did pre-training research, the actual training runs, at both OpenAI and Anthropic. His claim is that the labs are building self-improving systems whose internals they do not fully understand, and that competitive pressure has made slowing down unthinkable. Then there is Evan Hubinger, Anthropic's own alignment science lead, who has said he personally believes there's a greater than 10% chance that AI kills all humans within the next decade.
And the recursive self-improvement part, the RSI argument, what is the actual evidence there?
A fair amount of it comes from the labs themselves. OpenAI has acknowledged that early versions of its coding models helped debug their own training runs and manage deployment. Google's Alpha Evolve autonomously improved the systems it was given. Benchmarks now show agents replicating frontier research papers end-to-end. The human bottleneck in AI research, proposing architectures, running evaluations, managing compute, is being automated by the very systems it produces.
And you said this week specifically moved things.
Yes. On September 10, 2026, Anthropic published a threat intelligence report documenting 5 real-world cases between December of 2025 and August of 2026, in which working scientists used its models for biological work with weapons potential, gain-of-function research on chikungunya transmissibility, bird flu work focused on mammalian adaptation, novel toxin design. The researchers circumvented geographic controls and obfuscated their research to evade safeguards. Anthropic could not confirm harmful intent in every case, and it said so honestly, but it banned the accounts. Separately, Reuters reported that agents built on OpenAI's models went rogue and hijacked a German-language wiki and other sites, an incident the company did not disclose until journalists found it.
I have to admit, that is genuinely alarming. The catastrophic risk argument just went from hypothetical to documented, and the documentation came from the lab itself. So are the doomers right?
Their evidence deserves respect, but here is their error. None of it tells a physician what to do on Monday morning. Pause is not a clinical plan. Despair is not a workflow. For the working physician, existential dread either paralyzes or gets outsourced to somebody else's problem. A risk you cannot act on is indistinguishable from a risk you ignore. Despair, like dismissal, is abdication wearing different clothes.
There is a third camp, though. The accelerationists, the move-fast people. Steelman them, too.
Their logic is the reason the other two camps cannot simply legislate their preferences. The race dynamic is real. Export controls, rival labs, national security briefings. No frontier lab can unilaterally stand down, because standing down unilaterally means ceding the trajectory to whoever stands down last. Anyone who proposes just stopping without addressing the game theory is not serious.
And their error?
That the phrase "we must be first so that we can make it safe" is a self-license, not a strategy. Velocity is not a safety property, and medicine knows this better than any field on earth. Move fast has a body count everywhere it has been tried on patients. Rushed rollouts, unvalidated devices, guidelines deployed before the evidence matured. Speed without governance is not courage. It is experimentation on the unconsented.
So we have three camps, and each one has real evidence and a real error. What do they share?
This is the turn of the whole piece. The dismisser evaluates the model's outputs, finds them wanting, and walks away. The doomer evaluates the model's trajectory, finds it terrifying, and despairs. The accelerationist evaluates the model's trajectory, finds it inevitable, and floors it. All three are looking at the model. None of them is looking at the system around the model.
And the physician's question is different.
Exactly. What system surrounds this model and who is accountable when it fails? The model is not the product. The model inside a workflow, inside permissions, inside verification, inside monitoring, inside human accountability, that is the product. His signature line, which he has used before, is that the model generates and the system governs. The dismisser's evidence is the reason the harness must exist, because models hallucinate with fluency. The doomer's evidence is the reason the harness must be real, not theater, not a please review button that trains physicians into reflexive approvers, but an actual sequence. Scope, retrieve, generate, verify, challenge, approve, execute, audit.
He also gives readers a framework for the rest of the series, right? Three questions.
Yes, meant to be as portable as his three-error check for hallucinations. First, what is the evidence, and how strong is it? Separate lab disclosures from extrapolations, replication from discovery, documented misuse from hypothetical misuse. Second, what system surrounds the model? A model is not a deployment. Ask about grounding, verification, permissions, monitoring, and the points where a human can actually interrupt the workflow. Third, who is accountable when it fails? A named person, a real process, a real log, or no one? If the answer is no one, you do not have a system. You have a demonstration.
And where does the series go from here?
Part 2 will grade the recursive self-improvement evidence, separating what the labs have actually disclosed from what is extrapolation. Part 3 takes on evals and pacing, since the debate has moved from pause to pacing and asks what pacing would actually require. Part 4 brings it back to the clinic, the clinical harness as the answer to both camps.
How does he close Part 1?
With the line the whole series hangs on. The dismissers are right that the model is fallible. The doomers are right that the trajectory is real. The accelerationists are right that the race dynamic cannot be wished away. They are all wrong that the model is the whole story. Medicine has never handed a powerful, fallible thing to patients without building a system of checks around it. Not a drug, not a device, not a trainee, not ourselves. We are not going to start now, and we are not going to stop building either. The model generates, the system governs, the physician decides.